Breath of Heaven is one of my favorite songs. I've always loved that one. But, you know, I've always thought, yeah, Mary, wow, what an awesome thing that she did for humanity. But the Lord was impressing on me this morning that we're all Marys. We all carry them. And we all face, you know, when we have to go out and do ministry and we're put in a position where we might not think that we're worthy or we can do it. You know, we all face those fears. But He is with us. And it just really spoke to me that, oh, I'm a Mary. In a good way.
Well, I appreciate that insight. I appreciate that very much. Since that was the whole text of what I was going to say, that was okay. It's awesome. It's an awesome service. Did y'all enjoy that? It was quick. Now let's get on to celebrating. Hallelujah. But that was the thing that the Lord's been impressing on me for 2 weeks. Like 2 weeks ago, I heard this thing on KSBJ, this song, and I was like, that's it. We are Mary. We are Mary. That's it. You know, we are Mary. Hallelujah. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Just steal the thunder. Hallelujah. We are Mary. But it's almost an unnerving thought sometimes. But what I wanted to share, we'll start with this. We'll back up for just a minute because we want to get there. We want to build the momentum as we go here for just a moment. Now that we've blurted all the end out. The Cliff Note version. Hallelujah. Let's do this. Let's go to something that's been a familiar verse to us. Let's go to Ephesians 1:17. Hallelujah. That's okay. That's no problem. I think it's great. I'm just delighted to hear from multiple sources here that God is saying the same thing to all of us. And you know what? The most effective preaching that I can do is just to shut up and let God preach.
He didn't exactly tell me that I was a Mary, but he said none of us are qualified for the purpose that he has given each and every one of us, and that we don't have to do alone. He will do it for us and through us.
Yeah. Now we can go home. Praise Hallelujah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Ephesians 1 is real. And when people will participate and do this, is, you know, when God is speaking to you, you know, I want to hear it. I want everybody to hear it. Because why? Because this is something that God is wanting to get across. Hallelujah. So Ephesians 1:17 says that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him. I think we see the evidence of that happening. And I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? In other words, that you may understand the richness that Christ in you represents. That there's an opening of your heart to see and receive the richness of Christ in you. That's what being a Mary is about, is having Christ revealed in you. Having Christ revealed in you so in such a way that others get to see. When Christ is revealed in you, then it's something that it becomes But basically it becomes something that is demonstrated through you and to you. Hallelujah. We'll have to back all that up. Mike, fix all that on the tape, please. Hallelujah. But here we go. When we're looking at, this is the season to look, obviously, the testimony of the birth of Christ. And it's a testimony of the grace of God being revealed to us. It's a testimony of God's truth being revealed to us. What happened with Mary was just the evidence of God's love being manifested in a new way. It had been spoken of for 2,000 years at that point, but it was now being revealed in that generation. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke. Luke's account is, I love Luke's account. He's the one who was most thoroughly visits all this. While you're on there, I'll just remind you that Matthew 1:23 talks about Emmanuel, God with us. But in Luke 1, we'll go to verse 26. So now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now what is not stated here was that Mary was also of the descendants of David. If you look down the family line in the family tree, both of them come from David. And coming in, okay, this is Gabriel now. He's coming in and he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." I want you to imagine yourself. You know, you're hanging out at the house, and all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord shows up in front of you and says, "Hail, favored one." What does that feel like? Exactly. That's probably almost everybody's like, "What? Are you talking to me?" But if you can't, in other words, what we want to do is place ourselves in that position and place ourselves in that place. Why? Because that's where Mary found herself. A 14-year-old girl, she found herself, and we still call her a girl. At that point in time, they considered somebody who was 14 already a woman. But she found herself being testified to by this angel. And he begins to speak these things. Well, think about what the weight of that would do to you. "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement. She was a little perplexed, I'm sure, as to what was going on. And kept pondering what sort of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." We read that probably, you know, at least once a year and probably more. So, but we don't necessarily, we kind of skip through that part. But think of what is just revealed. Okay? So when you behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now think about this. The reality was, this was probably, as it would be with each of us, it was beyond her comprehension to actually encompass what was being said here. I am sure she had already heard somewhere in her life the prophecies coming out of Isaiah saying about the coming of a Christ child, the coming of a son out of a virgin, the coming of Emmanuel, Christ with us. I'm sure that she had already heard those things and received those things in her training growing up, but now for it to be revealed to you, think about how that would feel. It's revealed to you. This event that's been prophesied for 2,000 years, and you're the one. Remember, wasn't that song that said, "The load I must carry"? Can you imagine what that might have felt like, that load, that the revelation of what this could mean? And he's saying something, basically, he's saying, and he's on the throne of David, and he shall reign forever. I don't know if she even had a way to comprehend what that could mean in order to how God was going to do this. Because, see, none of these things matched up to what they were expecting. Israel was, at that particular point in time in history, they were looking for a savior. They were looking for a natural king. They weren't looking for a savior in the terms of what came. They were looking for someone who could come and get them out from underneath the Roman rule. And that's why there were at this particular point in time in history, there were a lot of insurrections going on in and around Jerusalem. There were a lot of insurrections going on in the kingdom of Judea, because there were things that were being predicted, and people were looking for someone to be that answer. But in their fervor to look for to be someone to be that answer, they were turning to mostly people who turned out to be just another zealot trying to attain some power. And the thought and the comprehension that it could be a baby never would have come to their own mind. Never would have come to their mind. The thought that a king was going to be raised up from this child. How could she even begin to encompass what was going to happen? But what she could very well get familiar with was what it would mean to her in the short run. Because in that moment, in that time, to be pregnant and to be unmarried was a sin that basically could lead to the stoning of death and death. That's why it says that Jacob had, or Joseph rather, was looking to put her away quietly until the angel visited him also and began to reveal into him a dream. Hey, I have a purpose for this, and this child is for me. Because see, he had to be assured that, hey, what I'm involved with here, I'm involved with something that went way beyond where I was thinking we were going, last month. So what we want to see there, what we have to understand, the impact this had to be. Because this thing was not just a momentary thing. It was not a light thing. She had to have at least some understanding of that potential impact that it meant for her life, because her reputation was going to be tarnished and torn from her. Everything that her life potentially was in danger. He will be great and be called the Son of Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. If you're looking for a natural king, that doesn't fit that mold. Somewhere she had learned to have an expectation of the good of God. We talked over the last week in particular, we talked about beholding God's beauty, beholding the beauty of the Lord out of Psalm 27, because David sought to just be with him every day in the tabernacle, that he might behold the beauty of God. And we began to talk about how what he was doing was actually having a vision for the favor of God in his life, having a vision for the goodness of God to come over his life. Because that's what he was conveying there. And we can see the evidence of it in his life. And we see the evidence here in Mary's life. She had some understanding of the goodness of God towards her. She may have only been 14, but she had an understanding of God's goodness, that ultimately, whatever was going to happen, that ultimately God was going to work it out to the good. Have a vision for goodness in your life. Have a vision for the beauty of the Lord. See, the beauty of the Lord is we look upon the beauty of the Lord. As we look upon His goodness, that's His beauty. As we look upon His glory, that's His beauty. As we look upon who He is, that's His beauty. As we look upon Him, we can have an expectation for the favor of God in your life. And as we have this expectation of the favor of God in your life, that puts you in position to receive. Mary is evidently in position to receive. She doesn't yet comprehend everything in this moment yet, because I think she got a little stuck. Just look at verse 32. Verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" What'd she stick on? She stuck on the first thing he said, "You're going to have a son." He's like, hello? How's that going to happen? So God told her all these wonderful things. On the first one, she was already stuck. And the angel answered, said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, the dunamis of the Most High, will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall become, or should be called, the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Now, my friend Gary Carpenter, mentor for me, basically he broke that down in the Greek where it says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." If you read it all in the Greek, it actually says, "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power." No word from God shall be without power. In the Greek, it actually adds, all those things are stated there. It's not stated in our English translation. But nothing is impossible with God, and no word of God is without power. So Mary is hearing this, and she's receiving this. She's choosing to trust in this. She's choosing to walk in it. Regardless of what impact it might have on her personal life, she says, "I embrace what's coming." Nothing is impossible. See, God had been proving this over time. Remember Sarai with Abraham became Sarah? She went from being 90 and barren, or 89 and barren, to 90 and with child. I'm not sure I can picture that. I'm happy to be a grandparent at this point and be moving on. I'm delighted to be a grandparent at this point. Hallelujah. And we got ways to go to 90, so there could be several more generations before that. So I put myself off my track. Where was I headed with that? So Hannah and Elizabeth and basically, he's talking to her about Elizabeth. And so Hannah, where he's been bringing the testimony of what is going to happen before them. The testimony of someone who is barren and then giving the ability to have birth well past the age of what would naturally be happening has already been, that precedent had already been set, but there had never been a virgin birth. Yet he says, nothing is impossible. He set before her the testimony of what already happened, giving her a bridge to get to what was about to happen. A way to see and perceive that what God is telling me is true. Your cousin has a child. Now, she already knew she had been barren for as long as she had been alive. But he says, it's already happened. Nothing is impossible with God. all he's looking for is a willingness on our part to trust. A willingness to believe, a willingness to receive what he's already put forth. And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, it be done to me according to your word. Be it done to me according to your word." Those are probably some of the most powerful words in all the New Testament. Be it done to me according to your word. As Kim already blurted out there, we are Mary. But this is how Mary got to be Mary. Those words, that act of faith. That act of faith was standing there and saying, "Okay, Gabriel, you're telling me this. I really don't have a way to comprehend this. I'm really not able to wrap my mind about what all it means. But because you've testified it to me, I receive it. And I am letting it be done to me according to your word." Why? Because according to his word means that I'm going to receive all the benefit and the blessing of it. I'm going to receive the fulfillment of it. I'm going to receive all that comes with it. And she had an understanding. If you look at verse 48. We'll just back up to verse 46. This is what Mary began to say when she encountered Elizabeth, and they call this the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my soul has received in God my Savior, for he has had regard for his humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." All generations will count me blessed. And you see, here what we're looking of is a word that Makario, and let's see what it says, which means, okay, when you were saying blessed, that's not blessed as in basically somebody speaking well of you. That's blessed with a meaning that carries like this: to be declared as indwelt by God, and therefore fully satisfied. To be declared as indwelt by God, and therefore fully satisfied. That was her expectation. That was the thing that she was receiving. She was receiving the indwelling of God and recognized that it would be something that would be fully satisfying and that it would be recognized for generations. And truly it has been. But you have the same indwelling. You have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. You have the indwelling of the life of God. You have the indwelling of the love of God, the presence of God. It all is set to indwell with you. It's set so that we can indwell, it can be that we can rejoice in the indwelling of God. When we begin to rejoice in the indwelling of God, we can begin to rejoice in the joy he has set before us, because he didn't only set before us, he put it in us. When we begin to rejoice in the joy, that's an acknowledgement of this love that we have received. Acknowledgement of his grace that we have received. And as we begin to do that, we can begin to walk in the joy of this salvation. One of the things that I've been looking at in my life at the moment is sometimes I can get a little bit more carried away in trying to walk in the obedience of all the little things that I know, rather than just looking to the joy of that salvation. When the shepherds went out and the angels began to speak and prophesy, they said, "For unto you there is a great joy that has been born. Unto men, there's been joy." This has been said, what is that? Luke 2. And an angel of God suddenly stood before them, verse 9. And the glory of the Lord shone around and about them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, or behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people." I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. Why the joy? Because the joy was the evidence of heaven being showing up in the earth. When we carry the joy, it's Christmas time, there's a lot of speaking about joy, but are we carrying the joy? Because when we're carrying the joy, we're bringing the evidence of heaven to this earth. Sometimes I won't put you in that spot. I have gotten tied up with the duty without looking to the joy. Because if I make the joy my first thing, my first response in it, if I make the joy the thing that I really keep on my plate and on my heart, then the rest of it will flow in naturally anyway. When I celebrate who He is in me, this is when we become a new creature and a new creation. If we continue to look to the Christ within us, we can understand and look to the thing that actually changes us. If I just look to the obligation, that's the word I was looking for. If I just look to the obligation, I can miss the joy. But if I look to the joy, I will never miss the obligation. Why? Because He's looking for us to understand His nature. And as I understand His nature, I'll naturally do those things that line me up with it. If I'm trying to deal with an issue in my life, the more that I look to Him, rather than fixating on that thing, the more that I look to Him, then the more that I will be transformed by that image. Hallelujah. So each of us, like Mary, carries the Spirit of Christ within us. That was the great revelation that Paul was revealing to the church, was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that works two ways. The hope of glory is your hope of attaining that eternal glory with Him. Because guess what? It's not your pretty face that gets you into heaven. No, you all have some pretty faces, but that's not what your ticket is about. Your ticket is about Him. But also the hope of glory works this way, because Father is glory itself. And Father is glory itself, and it's His hope that you will embrace what He's given you. It's His hope that you will embrace all that has been presented before you. Because He has a desire for you. He has a desire for you. Hallelujah. Father, I just release that joy and the strength that goes with joy, Father. I thank You for that strength that goes with the joy, and I thank You for releasing it to each and every one, Father, viewing this by live stream and those who are in attendance. I thank You that no matter what our physical state is, Father, no matter what we've been doing, Father, that there's an energy and strength that comes into our bodies, into our minds, Father, into our attitudes, into our thought processes, that comes out of Your joy. I thank You for that release, Father, this morning. I thank You for that release, Father, into the hearts, Father, and into the places of their thoughts, Father. I thank You, Lord, for a release of joy and the strength that comes with it, Father, that redefine us, Father, this season. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. That feels good. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I almost want to sing, but that probably wouldn't help you guys, so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was a great joy that was being revealed. She understood that this indwelling of Christ was a fulfillment of the prophecies but that it was also a fulfillment of everything that she had need of. In the same way, we're given the same privilege to be fulfilled within Him, to find our fulfillment in Him. And so as we do so, we can let go of the other things that we were looking for fulfillment through and begin to know and apprehend this fulfillment is already here and it's with me. And it's with me. I don't have to look to the outside things. I don't have to look to the things that have been on the east or on the west. I don't have to look to the anything but just what Christ is already doing in me. And when I do so and I recognize it, I can receive it. Because it's already been given to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I find Mary's courage infectious. Her courage there was is infectious. Zechariah, her uncle, was given the same opportunity, but you know what? He didn't know how to embrace it in that same openness. And so therefore he had to be mute until the day that John was born. It's okay to have a doubt. She had a question. How is this possible? How could this happen? She probably didn't even comprehend everything else that had been said because she got stuck on the first point. But nonetheless, she said, whatever it is, Lord, do it. Just do it. Because I'm ready for it. Whatever it is, I know it's going to be good. Because I have a faith in you. I have a trust in you. When we approach God like that, it's amazing what He can begin to roll out from and put in front of us. When we trust God like that, that trust is what opens us up to the grace of God. When we open ourselves up to the grace of God, everything begins to change. When we open ourselves up to the grace of God, now He can add ourselves to the work of our hands. To struggle in the work of your hands without the grace of God is a thing that just becomes toil. But when we open ourselves up to receive His grace, now He becomes the one who adds Himself to it, and the efficiency of that just increases manyfold. Steve shared a testimony not too long ago about what the Lord was doing with you through all the little things that you're putting up here. I don't remember what place you were when you started that, when the Lord said, hey, I want you to do this out of your own means, what place were you? Yeah, I was pretty broke. That wasn't the place I was asking about. There was a number. 235. Okay, salesman number 235 in their company, right? Out of 300. Out of 300, he was ranked at number 235. The Lord spoke to him and gave him a word. And he began to act in agreement with what God spoke with, even though it was outside of his ability to do it. It was outside of what was comfortable anyway. It wasn't basically totally outside of his ability, but it was outside of what was comfortable. See, what did he do? He positioned himself in the favor of God. Now God began to breathing on the work of his hands because you're doing the same work that you were doing when you were number 235. But now God moved him to number 9. From 235 to 9. I'm thinking he was going to go from 9 on up. That's because, Lord, I just release it, Father. I just release that encouragement and that help and that strength, Father. But I release, most importantly, the grace, Father, the continued grace to be evident in his life. Because, Lord, you can do this thing above all things. Hallelujah. But see, there's the release of that is that God is moving because what he was doing the same amount of labor, but now God was in a position to, because he positioned himself under his grace, God began to breathe on it in a brand new way. In the same way, when we allow him to add ourselves to what we're doing, his favor comes upon us, but it comes upon us, why? By saying, Lord, be it unto me as you've already spoken. In essence, Steve may not have said it that way, but that's what he was doing. He said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you up on your offer. Be it unto me as you've spoken. You put yourself in the path of grace. I want to put myself in the path of grace. Father, I just thank you for the path of grace being released, Father, to steamroller all of us, Father. The steamroller all of us, Father, in the path of grace, Father, because we want to rise up in the joy of our salvation. We want to rise up in the joy of the kingdom. We want to be evidence of the joy of the kingdom everywhere that we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The shepherds left their field. They left everything they were doing in the natural. And they came to worship the Lord. Joseph saw and heard from the Lord in dreams multiple occasions. And multiple occasions at first to explain the situation with Mary, then to explain what was going to happen, and then to explain when it was time to leave Nazareth and when it's time to leave Egypt and come back. But the Lord supernaturally intervened in his life. And the Magi were spoken to and took a long time, probably close to 2 years, for them to make that journey to come and see the Christ child. But when they came and they saw the Christ child, and they delivered when they saw the Christ child to provision for them to be able to leave and go to Egypt. See, where God is releasing his grace, where he's releasing his blessing, he's also releasing the provision. He's releasing the provision through his grace. He's releasing the provision because why? Because they said in their hearts, hey, be it unto me. There were three journeys that were involved there, but one Christ child. One Christ child. The evidence of Christ. The evidence of his grace and glory being revealed. The evidence of his favor, not just to this family, but to all families. He was leaving a witness, presenting a witness. Presenting a witness is a better way to say it. Presenting a witness of his great love for us. I want to just celebrate Christ. I want to celebrate Christ in us. Colossians 3:11 says Christ is all and in all. Are you part of all? Christ is all and in all. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in our hearts. That Christ may dwell in our hearts. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of Christ. You're not even having to do it on your own faith. You can do it on His. Which is kind of good news from day to day. We can do it on His faith. We talked about beholding His beauty. Now I want you to turn that thought inward a little bit. Behold His beauty in you. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See the beauty in you. See the Father's love being released in you. See, John 1:17 says, grace and truth were revealed through Christ Jesus. See, grace and truth being revealed in you. That's beholding the beauty of the Lord. When we see grace and truth being revealed in us, we're beholding the beauty of the Lord. Hebrews 1:3 speaks of the radiance. The Christ is the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact representation of His nature. Now I want you to focus on the radiance of the Father's glory in you. In you. In all of you. The radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature being in you. Because when we focus on that thing, now we're focusing on the One who's the overcomer. When we're focusing on that, now we're understanding and receiving of the love of God. And we're beginning to understand the importance He's placed, the favor He's given to you. How did He greet Mary? Hail, O favored one. It's His invitation to be greeted that way. This is His invitation to be greeted. Hail, O favored one, Les. Hail, O favored one, Betty. Hail, O favored one. Because it's Christ in you. We can get to be Mary. We've already been given the opportunity. We've already been given the blessing of it. What I want to do here is I want to just give you an opportunity to see ourselves. Because see, we've been given the secrets and the keys to the right hand of God. In this congregation, we've seen things. And we begin to see ourselves seated in heavenly places. But our ticket into those things is understanding Christ in us. Understanding that we've also, that even as Mary was chosen to carry the Christ child, you have been chosen to carry the Christ child. And you've been chosen to carry the Christ child because God delights in you. And so, Chris, if you'll play that song again, I just want you to just soak in it and see what it would be like to see the radiance of His glory in you. Hallelujah.